Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, you know what today is?
Yeah. What is it? I didn't know it was a real question. I was just going to ride with you.
Solana, you know what today is?
Yeah.
You invented this day, Solana.
Could it be Talk About It Tuesday?
Yeah, it's Talk About It Tuesday. You invented this. Talk about it. What? Oh, my goodness. It's already ready.
Talk about it.
Oh, I'm very excited to play Talk About It Tuesday later on today. And we fixed it, right, from last week?
We'll see in a little bit.
All right.
Let's not put the cart before the horse.
Rapidly approaching the next Dolphins game, which is Thursday, just a couple nights away. Fins and Jags. Rapidly approaching Canes FSU Saturday night, national TV. And tomorrow night, we are back to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's been a long wait. Hopefully, the Heat are raring to go. So we'll cover all that ground today. George Sedano from ESPN, he will join us for 15 minutes of Heat. Coach Mark Richt, now of the ACC Network, formerly the Hurricanes head coach, he's going to join us today. We'll talk a little Miami Hurricanes with him. And Tuan Russell, one of our favorites. He was a Cane and a Dolphin.
Yeah.
He's going to join us today. So, a lot to get to. I watched the Vegas Raiders game last night on Monday Night Football. And my conclusion is I really miss Las Vegas. Can we?
That's what you took from it?
Yeah, I watched it. I watched the entire thing, had money on it, as you know. Can we just get this vaccine working and everybody wear a mask and can we please get back to Vegas? Oh, I was going crazy last night. Kept showing the Bellagio fountains and the strip, and I was like, oh my God, get me back to Vegas.
Can't wait. Those damn Raiders look good too. We might be able to catch a game.
Man, I'll tell you, Derek Carr, because the first couple of series, I was not very impressed. And then he found his groove, and John Gruden, we were making fun of him yesterday, but you got to give him credit. If anybody watched the game, like, he kicked a field goal at the end rather than punt, which a lot of head coaches, I believe, would have done. I probably would have done it. There was about a minute left on the clock. If they miss the field goal, it was a 50-plus yarder. If they miss it, Drew Brees has, what, a minute to go 55, 60 yards?
Yeah, and that's not difficult.
And if he punted, theoretically, the worst that you would be off is, what, he'd have to go 80 yards. You know, if you punted it and it was a touchback, you'd have to go 80 yards in a minute. And I probably would have made that trade. And John Gruden put that pizza slice to the side and said, we are kicking a field goal, Jack. And we won that bet. If you listen to this show, it was Crowder that said, let's jump on this Raiders bet. And we did. So nice job out of you.
And, bro, we talked about it, too. And we saw it come to fruition. Not having Michael Thomas messes that offense up unimaginably. I thought they'd be able to do more without Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas is that passing game.
Oh, my goodness. You knew it, right? You said yes. It. You go, oh, Michael Thomas is inactive. Let's get on this. Man, I'll tell you. That stadium looks like something. Raiders look like they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. The Saints, you got to start questioning Drew Brees, right?
Yes, if we question Brady after that loss week one, we got to question Brees. And, bro, you always want to say they lost their fastball. That's the cliche, right? I don't know if he can throw all the throws. Brees looked limited last night. Now, I'm not saying for the rest of the season, but no, if you watched that game last night, you saw Brees was limited.
Just saw a tweet. This is from Joe Cook. He is the sports director at WAPT News in Jackson, Florida, where Deion Sanders has just become the head coach.
Yeah.
According to sources, and again, this is just from Joe Cook, who's he's the Will Manso, if you will, in Jackson. According to sources, Deion Sanders' coaching staff will be Jason Phillips, offensive coordinator, Terrell Owens, wide receivers coach, Warren Sapp, defensive line coach, Mario Edwards, defensive backs coach, Dennis Thurman, defensive coordinator. That's kind of funny, right? Everyone's going to did you see Deion Sanders' entrance to his press conference at Jackson?
Yes.
It was unbelievable.
They used the entire athletic budget to bring Deion into that room.
So funny, man.
The band, police, everyone. And Deion just walked in to sign the paper.
That was funny, man. All right.
I want to see how this works out now.
Yeah, because you're bringing – my thought was when Deion Sanders was getting ushered into this gymnasium for the press conference at Jackson – and the police and the marching band, like you say, I mean, it is a thing. Fast forward 3 months and he's on a little field that doesn't have, good drainage like they do at a top-notch school. And I just feel like Deion Sanders is going to be bored in 3 months. And and then you kind of feel the same way, right, about Sapp and Terrell Owens. It's fun until you actually have to work.
There's two things about this. One, Hawk, you hit it on the head. It looks good now. Warren Sapp is coaching the D-line? Yes. Is Warren Sapp sitting up till 3 a.m. reading the guards of some D2 school they play in a week?
Right.
Is Deion going to – is he breaking down this film like he did when he played at Jackson State? And then now Deion came out. Another thing, too. Number two was he came out. He was like, hey, guys, make a difference, or take the road less traveled and come here, bro. You're not getting a 5-star guy to go to Jackson State. Like, why would they? They can go to Alabama. They can go to Florida, UM. You're not stealing guys from UM to go play for Deion at a very, very small, underprivileged school with no money. I'm very interested to see how this works out.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to watch it. Anywho, so much stuff going on. I am just tickled by the amount of sports that we have here in South Florida. Let's get headlines with Alejandro Solana because we've got no time to spare today.
Wait till they're 2-5 in March. We'll see how much he loves being a head coach.
I'm telling you, Crowder nailed it because really, if you want to be a good defensive line coach, if you want to be a good DB coach, you want to be a good defensive coordinator, you have to know all the intricacies of the team that you're playing. And if the team that you're playing is a small D2 school, you're going to really have to do your research because it's not like it's somebody that you're watching on SportsCenter highlights. And it'd be interesting because that would require real dedication.
Yeah, I'd do it for high school, man. You have to draw up you have to draw up every play the offense runs and then draw up your defense against every play they run. So the lead, cover four, cover three, 30 front, 40 front. You have to draw all that up for the kids to see. I don't see Warren Sapp sitting in there doing that. I might be taking a knock at the guys. I just don't see those Hall of Famers doing it. But the proof's in the pudding because sooner or later, they're going to line up, bro, and we're going to see what happens.
go ahead, Solano. What are the headlines?
The Marlins, they lost yesterday 5-4 to the Braves. They play the Braves again today 7-10. It was a close game last night. The Fish looked like they were about to rally, but it ends up being a loss. But the Marlins still in the playoffs. They're currently in the 5 seed in the National League. 6 games remaining on the schedule. They control their destiny, fellas.
And eight teams will make it, right, from each league?
Correct.
Right. All right. Why is Dan Day on the beach? I'm just seeing a picture on Instagram that Dan Day says surf's up, stoked. Where is Dan? Is he not running the board?
No, he's actually my satellite weatherman today out in Miami Beach. Yeah.
Wow. All right. I didn't know we had the budget for a satellite weatherman.
We're working in.
Didn't know we had the budget for you. Yeah.
Let's capitalize early because I know Dan's drinking. I don't know around 5 if he'll pick the phone up.
Right. Let's get a satellite weather update early on in the show.
Monday Night Football last night. You mentioned it a little while ago. Raiders beat the Saints 34-24. Crowder, you didn't want to question Drew Brees moving forward, but I will. He's got a noodle arm, and it's done. Like, he is done.
I thought he said you have to question Drew Brees.
We could question him. My thing is, we could question him about last night. But when Drew figures this thing out, and I think he will,
right,
it's not going to always be this way.
Just like Tom Brady seemed to have figured it out last week or this past Sunday. But his arm strength is nowhere near what it was. His ability to throw is nowhere near what it was.
Bingo. You're right.
Works for me. I got Alvin Kamara, so check down city for my fantasy team. Game 3, Lakers-Nuggets. 9 p.m. tonight, the Lakers, 6.5-point favorites to take a 3-0 lead.
All right, we are going to talk with George Sedano. He's out in L.A., so we can ask him about that.
Game 4, Heat-Celtics tomorrow, 8:30 p.m., Boston, 3-point favorite.
Let's go. You got the guts, Crowder?
I got the guts.
You got the guts, Solana?
I got the guts, baby.
Jay Fig? How about Jay Fig? Does she have the guts?
Oh, I have the guts.
She's got the guts. We all got the guts.
You seen the article? Jimmy's pissed. Jay Crowder's pissed. Just everything they're saying. Everybody's mad. I like a
Let's
mad
go.
Heat team.
Let's go. We like a mad Heat team. Mad. Get mad.
Adam Silver, he was on CNN today.
Was he mad?
No.
I like a mad commissioner. Get a mad commissioner.
The only coach I've ever heard get mad is the guy in the wheelchair on dodgeball. He yells, get mad at his guy. Patches O'Houlihan. We are Patches O'Houlihan of coaching.
Why can't I think of his name? What's his real name? He died. He used to be on Larry Sanders' show. Oh.
No, he died because he got the thing fell on his head in the middle of the casino.
No, I'm talking about in real life.
It's unfortunate, right? I mean, just wheeling right through the casino.
Why can't I think of his name? Oh, my God. It's driving me crazy.
Patches.
Patches O'Houlihan was. Why can't I find? Oh, Rip Torn.
That's his real name? That's a stage name. Rip Torn?
Yep.
Bro, his name is William Blocklock Lamille, and he went with Rip Torn.
Rip Torn. What a great actor.
All that for Rip Torn? Nobody's ever heard of Rip Torn.
Oh, you are so wrong. So wrong. Text in. 786-360-0790. Have you ever heard of Rip Torn? Just yes or no. 786-360-0790.
Rip Torn and Sean Penn are on the same little acting realm.
I mean, you're pulling somebody out of your butt, and that's fine. But no, Rip Torn is a very well-known actor.
Put the foot away, Crowder. Anyways, Adam Silver... He told CNN that January is the earliest start time for the 2020-2021 NBA season, and he said he hopes that teams will play in their home arenas in front of fans, and they'll get all 82 games in.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right? It would have to be after December, right? It's not going to be over till what, October? So NBA Finals will be over in October. You get November, December, you get a couple of months off, and then you fire it back up again.
Gonzalo Higuain. He's officially been cleared for training, and he joined Inter Miami today for his first official training with La Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Big news. Finally, guys, a Chinese drug trafficker on death row in Indonesia. He escaped from his cell after digging a 30-meter tunnel in the sewers of the prison.
Hey. Yeah.
Sounds a little bit like...
Andy Dufresne.
Yes, indeed.
Script.
The story continues, though. He's still on the loose. Authorities are looking for him, but they fear he'll be in Ziwatanejo next week.
That is great. If you could have stuck the landing on that, it would have been great. But when you added it up for playback, you make sure you take out your verbal stumble there. That was delightful.
And I didn't steal it. And I didn't steal it.
No, I know. I can see there's actual show prep put in there. Like that was excellent. I admire what you just did there. That is excellent. Yeah.
Solana, you're writing punchlines now?
Yeah, I mean, that was good. And that was the only good punchline. Like, we could have easily gone to a warden punch. Like, I was immediately, when he said the story, my head's clicking or whatever. He nailed the perfect punchline. Someone will explain it to Jay Figg, right, in the next 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But,
Oh, she's going to do that I get it laugh, but she won't get it.
Oh, right. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, Alex.
Let's get to weather right now in South Florida, partly cloudy.
I think Jay Figg right now is thinking to herself, you know, half the time I don't even understand this Tobin and Leroy.
Love you, Figg.
Zuantanejo. That was excellent.
Man. 86 degrees right now. Mostly cloudy. We kind of have a cold front in South Florida. Kind of not really. It gets down to about 75 tonight, but the good part, no humidity. That is your weather.
All right. 15 minutes of heat is next on Hockman and Crowder.
This is the Hock and Crowder Show. Adetokunbo for three. Hock and Crowder.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell,
15 minutes of heat!
Like your style, Solana. 15 minutes of heat brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. We're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. George Sedano, he can be heard every afternoon on ESPN Radio in Los Angeles, and he can be seen on myriad ESPN shows opining on the NBA. And I'm guessing, just like us, Crowder, he is probably frothing at the mouth for the thought of a Heat-Lakers-NBA Finals. LeBron and Lakers and Riley and the Heat. I'm guessing George, right? I mean, that would be the greatest thing ever, no?
I don't think there's any question that would be the case. By the way, great job by Solana, making me feel like I was at like some rooftop party at Space or 11 or something like that.
Right. Yeah, that Heat Lakers finals. Yeah, that'd be good for the league too, right?
What you know about 11, George? What you know about 11?
I mean, you know, I know some things. But to your point, Hawk, I think that look, clearly Lakers and Celtics would be big for the league too, because it's the two most historic franchises. It's like if you had like the Dodgers and Yankees in the World Series, right? Like, you know what I mean? Steelers, Cowboys, right? Like in the Super Bowl. Like, I think that there are some things that you know will resonate. But I will say this, like, there's no real lineage between or correlations between this Celtics team and the Lakers team. Like, you're really kind of focusing on the past. I guess Danny Ainge is there. But with the Heat, there's like fresh storylines or fresher storylines. Obviously, you mentioned Riley, Spoelstra, LeBron, right? All that stuff. Like, there's so many ways that, who? Oh, UD. Sure. I think there's just so many ways that you can make that interesting from a storyline perspective that, it would be great to have for sure.
And George, the Heat were 10-1 going into game 3 against Boston in the playoffs. They were beating the hell out of people. Gentlemen sweep, swept the Pacers, gentlemen sweep on the Bucks. Game 3 of the Boston Heat series scared me. Should I be as scared as I am? Because, bro, they dominated that game from whistle to whistle.
Yes and no. Yes, because Boston is really good. They're top-heavy, for sure. When you look at Tatum, Brown, Smart, and now Hayward back in the fold, even though his contributions were minimal on the box score, just having him there and his awareness of that particular system, having someone that can help them with the zone, I think was big for them. But I'll just say this. There's a lot of talk right now about, oh, no, you know, 4 days between games. Oh, my goodness. The Celtics, this is gearing up for the Celtics to even it up at 2-2. I don't know about you, but the best coach in the NBA is on the other side. And he just benched his best player, Jimmy Butler, in game three. Don't you think that's probably not going to sit well over 4 days? And they're going to come out like bats out of hell in that situation in game four? Like, I'm predicting a Heat win in game four.
Yeah, I think there's that side of the story. We can obviously, you can look at it both ways. But I would ask you this. Who is the better team, in your opinion?
I think it's razor thin, the margins. I think the Heat are deeper. I think that the Celtics are more top heavy, right? And I think I think I may have talked to you guys about this. Like, I thought there were several keys to this series. Number one, the depth that we just discussed there, in no particular order. Number two, the Heat's great three-point offense, which was second in the league during the regular season and second in the playoffs, versus the Celtics' great three-point defense, which was the best in the playoffs thus far. And we saw how Toronto had tons of variance there up and down in their games and their long series with Boston. So I think those are two things. And then the biggest key for me individually is Bam. If Bam dominates on both ends, the Celtics don't have an answer for him. So I think that that is where the focus needs to be in some way, shape, or form to free up Bam both on offense and defense to create havoc.
And George, a big problem is points in the paint. Game one, the Celtics had 26. Game two, 46. It's a little bitter. Game three, George, 60 points in the paint. Is that an easy fix? Mm-hmm. You talked about the 4 days off. Can they fix that? Because that is one of the things that scared me. I don't know if Gordon Hayward created it with him coming back, but 60 points in the paint, that is unacceptable.
Yeah, 100% it's unacceptable, and I do think it's correctable. I don't think it's going to be what you saw in game one. But I think if it's what you saw in game two, that's manageable, right? Like, and I think that, you know, look, the Milwaukee Bucks led the league in opposing points in the paint, right? And I think they allowed 38 points per game. So if you're in that low 40 range, you're doing okay for yourself. And I think that's kind of the target that you need to be with any particular team, especially at this particular state of the season. So, yeah, I think it's correctable. They allowed way too many easy ones, and the Celtics got a lot of those easy ones, as you recall, early in the game, which really kind of set the tone. And look, the Heat made a valiant effort to make it a game at the end, but I think Jimmy nailed it the other day when he said, I'm kind of tired of playing from behind. And they've been playing from behind a lot, not just in this series, but in all these other series too. So I just think at some point they're going to have to come out and have their best game. And I think we've seen glimpses of it, but I don't think we've seen their best performance yet, where all things are firing at the same time. And they shot terribly from three. They played poorly defensively. That was very unlike the Miami Heat. So I expect a way better effort for game four.
George Sedano from ESPN is with us. So when they went up 2-0, I think we all felt the same thing. There's no way Boston's going to be able to win four out of the next five. Like, it just, you can't get there in your head. Now they take the game Saturday night, like we mentioned. You said you think that the Heat are going to win tomorrow. Obviously, you feel good. If they do tie it at two, all of a sudden the series is tied 2-2. Does that dramatically change things, in your opinion, of the way the series will go?
I mean, yeah, I think all of a sudden you're looking at a seven-game series for sure at right. that point. I think that the Heat can still get one more in that scenario, but it's a toss-up at that point, which, look, it's where we were at the beginning of this thing. So it wouldn't surprise me if, even if the Heat played their best game, that the Celtics could match them and win that. I just think that the Heat, you know, given all this time, right, that they have to kind of mull over the putrid performance by their standards that they had in game three, I just think you're going to see a completely different mindset in this game. And Jimmy says it all the time. They can't get comfortable. And occasionally they've gotten comfortable. And when they get comfortable and lose, they usually bounce back pretty well in the next game. So I'm expecting that to be the case.
And, George, I got to go to the Western Conference Finals. First, I didn't want the Nuggets to be there. But that's just me personally.
You know George didn't. You know George in L.A.
I mean, yeah. Nobody wanted that. Like, this is so anticlimactic. Look, as nice a story as they are, you know, and look, I thought they were going to be able to steal game two. But now the series is over. You know what I mean? Like, they're not coming back and winning 4 out of 5 against that Laker team. Like, that's not happening. So, yeah, I'm with you. I would have loved to have seen the Clippers because styles make fights, man. And those particular styles clashed in a way that we could have had an epic 7-game series.
And the talk today, George, was AD shot. 2.1 seconds left on the clock. He pulls up. He hits the three. He yells, Kobe, just beautiful. It was artistic how that happened. I want to ask you, though, George, LeBron's on that team. Does LeBron have to sign off on that inbound play where he's setting a pick for AD to shoot the game winner?
You make it sound like the UPS delivery guy came and he has to actually sign off there for that. Here's what I would say. There, and Crowder, you know this. You know, in a locker room, there are certain guys who have enough cachet to kind of forego maybe what the best player wants. And for all the issues that Rondo has, right, he's got that cachet, right? In the locker room, he is respected and his teammates love him. His teammates understand that he is one of the smartest guys to ever play the sport. I mean, look, Dwayne Wade says it, right? He played with Rondo briefly in Chicago and talks about how Rondo is a top three player as far as just his mind is concerned, right? Like the just knowing and understanding the game. So when Rondo comes to Frank Vogel and says, hey, I want to inbound the pass and inserts himself in the game, he's going to make the right decision. And, you know, we may not like him, you know, because of his personality, because he can rub people the wrong way or whatever, but you got to respect him and his mind when it comes to hoops. And there's no question. He's probably the only guy on that roster, Crowder, that could have foregone a pass to LeBron James in that situation. And he did.
We have to stand with Jason Jackson on this one and hate Rondo, no matter what he's capable of doing with the Lakers or on a basketball court. George Sedano is with us from ESPN. He mentioned, you know, we would have loved to have seen a Lakers-Clippers finals. I'm sure you would have also. What is in the future, do you think, for the Clippers? Wholesale changes or Kawhi, Paul George, Doc Rivers remain?
I don't think they're making a coaching change. And the Kawhi-Paul George dynamic will be fascinating. I think that, you know, you saw that report by Chris Haynes, I'm sure, yesterday about allegedly Paul George after Game 7 was like, yo, we got to come back and be stronger, and it was met with eye rolls, right? So
I love that. Because I love that story. Like, it would have to be such a pronounced eye roll for that to get to the media that it would almost be like cartoon-like, which I love, which I could see people rolling their eyes that wide to that.
Yeah, for sure. And look, he's a good player, man. Like, there's no doubt. But I just think that he gets in his own way, right? Like, the 6 inches between the ears at times gets in his own way. And so I would say this. I would say Kawhi and Doc 100% are back, okay? Look, Doc Rivers, for all the issues that people may have with him in Miami, he's an excellent coach. And at some point, you know, you can coach as much as you want, but the guys on the floor have to perform, right? And I know Doc is an easy target in this situation, but the players let him down more than anything else. You know what I mean? Like, they just choked it away for 3 straight games. Like, you can't blame the coach when he's not the one on the court in that situation, at least I believe. So, and look, Kawhi is still a top three player in the NBA, but Paul George has value, right? Now, I know that Paul George would love to be a Clipper for life. I do know that. And there's not very many people historically that have wanted to be a Clipper for life. Blake Griffin was one of them, and then he was traded. And so I do think it's going to be a very difficult decision inside that front office to figure out what it is they do, because they're going to lose Montrezl Harrell probably in free agency. And my best guess is he goes to Dallas and plays with Luka, which is fascinating because of the dust up they had. But I do think that that's probably the place he ends up. But yeah, I don't have the answers, but I would be stunned if Doc or Kawhi are gone.
And, George, to that point where Paul George comes out and says, let's run it back, I know you want to run it back, Paul, because you were the problem. Like, his numbers, Bubble right. Paul George, that was the story. You're the problem, so I know you want to run it back. Like, when you look back on the Clippers 2020 season, I'm going to think Paul George folded in the bubble. Are you with me? Am I wrong? Where are you at on that?
Yeah, Paul George's numbers in the bubble were bad. Paul George's numbers in closeout games are not ideal either. I mean, he's a long way away removed from his days in Indiana battling the big three Heat, where everybody was like, whoa, who's this kid? You know what I mean? Like, it feels like that was another lifetime ago when we thought that he was going to be the next coming of a really great superstar. Now, he's a star. I still think he's a top 10 or 15 player, but I think that to be the leader on a franchise, you have to have more than just skill. I think that your skills need to be in the way you handle the locker room, in the way guys buy into what you're saying. You know, you mentioned UD earlier. UD still got that. I've got a story coming out on ESPN.com tomorrow about UD, and it's called The Keeper of Culture, and how he's kind of morphed from being, you know, 2003 and the undrafted, gem out of France, right, to being a guy who was a major contributor on a championship team in 2006. People forget 17-10 in a closeout game against the Dallas Mavericks in 06, to being a key contributor for the big three and then getting derailed because of injury and going from that to enforcer to now mentor. I think that throughout all that time, the one thing he's had is buy-in, right? And guys buy what he says, even though he's not the best player on the team and even though his skills have eroded for a number of different reasons. And the Clippers don't have that guy. And in theory, you'd like it to be one of your best players. It doesn't have to be, but they don't have any of those guys, which is the bad part.
I got a sneak peek from George of The Keeper of Culture, which will be on ESPN.com tomorrow. Heat fans are going to love it. So make sure you go online, ESPN.com tomorrow, and read it. You too, Solana. It is going to be right in your wheelhouse. George Sedano, ESPN, ESPN Los Angeles, and of course, Hialeah's own. Thank you for making time for us, George.
I always derail you here. Speaking of Hialeah's own.
This is what I look forward to.
I need some football talk here. All right. I believe, okay, I have sat there miserably through the last 16 years or whatever it's been of Canes football that has not been great, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Eric King is the best quarterback they've had since Brock Berlin. I don't even think that's even debatable at this point. Do you guys agree with me or no?
Totally agree.
I believe that this
Totally agree. It was obviously it's the Louisville game that really made you see what this guy is capable of. But Crowder, being an SEC and a Florida guy, has wanted to Tate Martell D'Eriq King ever since we heard about him in the transfer portal.
What?
But Crowder saw it, right? Crowder saw it on Saturday night, and he came on the air yesterday, right, singing his praises.
George, my thing is you're transferring, you're moving around. Like, come on, you can't be that good. If you're going to ball, you're going to ball where you're at. Bro, against Louisville, George, you hit it on the head. I think he's better than Brock Berlin. D'Eriq King got something.
Oh, yeah. I think he's better than Brock Berlin, too. But I'm saying that's how far back you have to go to find a good college quarterback that performed at the University of Miami. And it makes me feel a little worse that he happened to be a Gator like you, Crowder, before that. But then he came to the right side.
That's right.
And figured
talk
it out.
About it.
That big win in the OB. I was there for that, baby. Were you on that Gator team, Crowder?
He was on that Gator team. You're damn right he was.
That was my first collegiate game ever, was in the OB against the Canes. First game ever.
And Crowder was bawling out, by the way. Bawling out. Because we have the highlights of the game, and Joe Zagacki's like, oh, look at that, Channing Crowder. That's Randy Crowder's kid, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, we brought Brock Berlin on, I think, the last 2-3 years to celebrate it.
They make me relive it. George, this is what, 14 years ago. I got to relive it once a year, every time.
It is great. Is that the Frank Gore story? Hold on a second. Yes. Is that the Frank Gore story game? So Crowder for years, this is great. Crowder for years has told this story about, it was a tough loss, but I shut down Frank Gore. So I had kind of a personal victory in that game, even though we ended up losing this game that we shouldn't have lost. I shut down Frank Gore, blah, blah, blah. And we just took his word as gospel for years. And then finally, one day we look up the stats. Frank Gore ran for like 146 yards, had the go-ahead touchdown by planting his shoulder into Crowder's chest, and there's still a mark. There's still a mark on his chest.
What happened, guys? George, I shut down Jared Payton, but I thought it was Frank Gore.
Right.
And well, and I just, yeah. Just.
It's 33, 32, and 34. I can understand that mistake, you know, for sure. Two more quick things. Crowder, I think Brady and Breeze are washed. I think the NFL has done a really good job of extending the life of quarterbacks with the way that they've protected them. But I think it's over for those two, right?
I was going to say, George, like to say it was over for Brady week one and then they go and win. Are they ever going to be NFL MVPs? No. But, George, out of what I've seen Brady do in that team, they could still win the Super Bowl with a washed Brady. So that's why I'm a little, you know, a little slow to say he's washed. He can't do it because they're going to go in the playoffs. Both teams, I believe, will be in the playoffs.
Okay, maybe this is the better way to describe it. They no longer are capable on a regular basis of carrying their teams to victory. It can happen once in a while during a 16-game season, but generally their teammates are going to have to carry them at this stage.
I'm with you on that. I'm right there with you. And honestly, George, it's probably why Brady left New England because they weren't giving him any more receivers. They weren't getting him weapons. Yeah. He's like, hey, if I can't do it, let me go to a team that's going to give me other people that can do it.
Right. Now, Hawk, for you, how often have you said the name of the show that swept the Emmys? Because now you could say that word, right? I mean, that is the proper name of a show.
So we have avoided it until Gino Toretta came on yesterday and dropped Schitt's Creek about 17 times. Len is texting me every time he's saying it. And Gino's like, I know radio. I've worked in radio. I know what I can say. And we actually had little traffic or something sponsorships running from the network. I don't even know what network it's on because I've never seen the show.
Netflix, I think.
Yes, Netflix. Yesterday was the first day that we've said it. Are you saying it on your show?
We said it a lot yesterday. We even had Jeannie Buss, the owner of the Lakers, mention it because she told the story about how the cast of Schitt's Creek came to a Lakers game. They were her guests at a Lakers game before the season had stopped. So we got the owner of the Lakers to say it on live radio. Yeah, we were all laughing, you know, like, this is like great. We can say it, you know?
For an old radio head like me, it's just very difficult. Very difficult. I want a new name for that show. Anyway.
No, let's keep that name. I hope that show lasts for 20 years so we can just call it, we just use the name constantly and drive people like Len crazy.
George Sedano, ESPN Los Angeles. Thank you, George.
All right, I'm going to go make some homemade croquetas. I'll talk to you later.
There you go, a little taste of Hialeah. He hears some Hialeah, we got to get a taste of Hialeah. All right, let's take a quick break. That is your 15 minutes of heat. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Talk about it.
Hawk and Crowder.
Juan Russell, a lifelong South Floridian, went to high school at St. Thomas, coaching St. Thomas, feeling the heat, Crowder, played linebacker.
I'm going to ask him about it. I think we got a game set up this season. We'll talk about it.
Played linebacker at the University of Miami, spent a couple seasons with the Redskins, then came back to play football here in Miami again with the Dolphins and coaching high school football and just involved in the community in more ways than you can imagine. Got his Russell Education Foundation. We've discovered on this show he's an amazing storyteller as well. And he's joining us, and I want to start with the Hurricanes, Twan, because they might have something special going on, and they host FSU Saturday, and that always makes for a very special week. I'm imagining FSU week is some of your best memories from when you played at UM?
Yeah, I mean, when we won, it was some of our best memories. I mean, anytime you play Florida State, it's a unique matchup, and what makes it so special it's not just a rivalry between the schools, it's the connection between the players. And I think that's what people miss. When you look at the rosters between Florida State and University of Miami, I'll bet you 30-40% of those players played against each other in high school, and they have a unique connection as a brotherhood. So you're actually stepping on a football field competing against your brother. And I don't know about you, I had four brothers growing up, so you know, the one time I beat my oldest brother, I like celebrated for a whole week until he caught me coming around the corner and clotheslined me, and I still got the bruise on the back of my neck. But but I mean it's an exciting game because everybody knows each other. You know, after the game it's shaking hands and, you know, high five. It's not like Florida State, Miami, you know, I mean, it's not like Florida, Miami or Florida and Florida State. We just hate Florida, but for Florida State and Miami, it's more of a mutual respect. I'm sorry, Kyle. Did I cut a nerve?
Yeah, man. I just how you gonna just slide that in and think it's cool that you gonna just hate us, man? Come on, man. I know.
I don't hate Florida, little jealousy, maybe. I mean, well, I don't know. How many nationalities do y'all have?
Talk about it, Twan. Every time y'all bring it up.
I mean, you brought it. He's like you. I mean, yes, I started the fight, but you cut me deep, so I had to go for the juggler.
Antoine, the thing about the brothers, man, I think sisters were worse because my sister beat me with an S10 pickup truck antenna. So, I would rather get clotheslined than whooped with an antenna, but that's just my personal story, so I had to get that out there. But,
are you saying that you're University of Miami sister school? I didn't understand where you're going with that.
Talk about it.
You know what? Since I see you got your little orange and green on today, Twan, everybody wants to yell, oh, we're back. Oh, the Canes are back.
No, it's absolutely not.
Canes are back. What, Twan, can you tell me or tell your counterparts out there, tell all your Canes fans, when can you say the Canes are back? Because just getting a quarterback, and Twan, I like what I've seen out of De'Eriq King. I think y'all got you one. That doesn't bring you back. When can you say the Canes are back? Because 2-0 against UAB and Louisville, I'm not comfortable saying the Canes are back.
I'll tell you what most excited me. I mean, De'Eriq King was definitely exciting. Seeing him play, seeing him throw the ball around. But what's really made me excited, and most people probably noticed this, is to watch, you know, Manny Diaz be a head coach. He didn't have to – at least to me, he didn't seem like he was deep into the defense or deep enough. He was managing the team. And when a head coach can manage the team and manage his coordinators and manage his players, he can add real value. He can be a critical thinker behind the scenes. And I thought that's what he was doing. You know, we have to be careful. I mean, when you look at University of Miami, I mean, we got some things to fix on that defense. I mean, we're more of a bend don't break kind of defense. You know, yeah, our offense, I think, you know, they converted probably 50% of their first downs, and the defense did a good job of preventing Louisville from, you know, getting first down. I think they were 3 or 14, but you know, we still have some work to do. I mean, I think Louisville had what, 400, 500 yards of offense. I mean, so we have some work to do. I mean, we have real work to do. We're going in the right direction, but we got some pieces. I mean, that's the fun part. And then they got a recruiting class that's going to, you know, is going to add to this. And I'm excited about the future. It's exciting to see the now and the direction that's going. But I wouldn't start jumping up today and saying that, you know, we're running towards the national championship. I think we have to be very careful and very modest because we have some good football teams coming up. And we have a lot of football to play. And I don't think we've proven ourselves to say that, you know, we have arrived. I think we've done what we're supposed to do. And I'm modesty. Excited what Manny has down there.
Modesty is not our best trait, I'm sure.
Everybody had their pots and pans out, jumping up and down, running through South Beach during the pandemic.
But there's some – Twan Russell is with us. There's some real talent all of a sudden on a team that seemed to be pretty devoid of talent, right? De'Eriq King, Cameron Harris looks really good. This kicker, Jose Borregales, I mean, what a pleasure is it to have a kicker that can knock down, you know, a 55-yarder like it's an extra point. Like, there are some really, really exciting reasons to feel good about this Canes team.
Yeah, I think the best part to be excited about is probably the running game. I mean, I feel like this running game can carry us very far because we can eat up the clock. We got a 1-2 punch. I mean, we haven't even really seen what Knighting can do because every time he touches the ball, he scores a touchdown. So it's like, you know, to see – what we've done from a play call standpoint. And then and the one of the biggest things that we've done, we've been playing complementary football. Louisville goes down and scores. What does Miami do? They go back down and score. They eat up the clock. They give their defense a break. And they wore down that Louisville defense. I mean, when you're getting back to the line of scrimmage within 15 seconds of the ball being down every single play, I mean, you beat defenses down. And I think you saw that towards the end of the game. We really wore them down, really broke their backs. And I think, you know, that offense has they have the men. I mean, the wide receiver core is phenomenal. I mean, in tight end play, I mean, they probably rival the running backs in chunk yards. I mean, yeah, chunk yards all day long. It was the type of University of Miami team that people have been wishing for here in the last few years. But we still have some work to do. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen here in the near future.
I would agree with all of that. Tuan Russell is with us. What did you think of the new turnover chain? Paying homage to the entire state of Florida, stealing it back from the Florida Gators, who like to use that the state name in their name when we know the state of Florida is ours. Talk about it.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I love the turnover chain. I mean, it just embodies who we are. I mean,
yes.
Big gold chain with the big Florida and the U on top. This is our state. I mean, nobody knew what the state of Florida was until the University of Miami was birthed. You know what I mean? So in 1926, when Miami came out of the block, yeah, we started a little slow, but we started winning those national championships. And at that time, the government literally wanted to saw the state of Florida off and let them fall into the ocean. And then Miami started winning state national championships. And ever since then, we have been rivaling Vegas and California to be the best place in the United States, if not the world.
Oh, it was like listening to a symphony there, Crowder, wasn't it? I got lost in the symphonic sounds of Tuan Russell.
When you walk in Coral Gables down there on campus, do they drug y'all or hypnotize y'all? Is it mental or is it medicine?
It's the water. It's that South Florida water. Don't worry, but you know what? You've been drinking it long enough. You might as well go ahead and adopt University of Miami as your second team.
That's right.
You
that's
know
right.
You love us. Be honest.
If you had to choose
between us and Florida State, who would you choose?
Oh, I choose UM. I hate Florida State. I feel you know how you said you hate Florida, but you know you dislike Florida State? I'm the other way where I hate Florida State. I can deal with the Canes. And Tuan, every now and again on this show, I slip up and I'm talking about the Canes and I'm talking about, you know, Jonathan Garvin, and I'll say we. And I use word we. And everybody lights up, Tuan. I'm reluctant. Every time I say, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I just said we. But I appreciate y'all swag. I'll tell you that.
He'd have been good Cane.
Yeah, that's why people like University of Miami, because they can relate to the swag. I mean, and I'm not going to – I don't have swag. I'm not like that. You know what I mean? I'm more of a buttoned-up type of guy. But when you step on the football field, you embody it. So when I step off the football field, I'm a different person. But on the football field, everyone can appreciate the swag. And the swag has nothing to do with jumping up and down. That's the biggest misconception in the world. The swag has to do with winning and know you're going to win before you step on the football field and preparing as if that was true. That's swag to me. And I think that's what Miami did for a long time.
Tuan, you got like a deacon swag. You got like a church swag. You always put together. You always clean. You always, you know, you walk, you float. You don't really walk, you float around. But it's more of a deacon. Like, I can see you with a bow tie. Hey, quickly, Tuan, I want to get
to the
Dolphins.
I'm at church with the church robe. I got the church robe on.
Hey, Tuan, take the plate around to the back. Around to the back. Take the plate.
That's not illegal. That's not the church I go to. We do it in the – we let everybody see where we're giving the money.
Oh, yeah. We slide our money and we step on it and slide it under our foot just in case somebody's watching.
But you're not the person that take the plate and then do change in the plate, right? You know, you're the person breaking a 20 in the plate. They breaking a 20 in the plate. You're like, man, are they really breaking a 20? Or are they taking more than they put in? Like, you really don't know.
I'll tell that lady.
Just give them the whole 20.
Duane, I'll tell her. All I got is big bills, ma'am. All I got is big bills. I ain't got nothing little. I'm sorry. I tell them.
Move ahead.
I'm tight. Keep that plate. You can have that plate. We can sell it. Let's pawn the plate. We pawn the plate. We'll get $10, $12. Tuan, quickly, I got to go over the Dolphins with you, Tuan, and I need your opinion on this quarterback situation. There's two thoughts about young quarterbacks, Tuan. Get them in the game and let them develop, or don't throw them in the fire and get them shell-shocked. What's your thought on that? Do you like the quarterbacks like Manning that just jump straight in? Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, they jump straight in. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes had that redshirt season with Alex Smith. What's your opinion of that quarterback, the rookie quarterback approach?
I think every situation, every player, every team is going to be different. I think you play a rookie quarterback as a last resort. And what I mean by that, it could be the first play of the game of the season, or it could be the last play of the season. You play him when you have to. You play him when you've exhausted every opportunity to win without him, and then you put him in. Because I'm a big component of having players sit out and learn for a year, especially at the most important position in the National Football League. And when you look at Peyton Manning, when he first got into the league, he got killed on that football field. I mean, he was getting sacked. When you look at what's his name in for Indianapolis? I can't think of his name.
Manning.
No, but
Phillip Rivers.
When you see before that, but
Andrew
Luck. When Luck came into the league,
I almost got to Curtis Painter.
He had more sacks than anybody else. He had more sacks than anybody else in the National Football League, and you can really hurt a quarterback like Ryan. When he came into the league, Ryan was getting sacked, and they were sitting on him and having lunch, and they were sharing like ribs, and it happened to be his ribs. So, I am not a fan of playing a young guy early unless you have to. Can you imagine? Look at what Ryan's doing right now in Houston. If he had the opportunity, and we just didn't have the ability then in Miami, if he had the ability to sit back longer and learn and develop, he could have stepped on that football field with more confidence and in a better scenario. The challenge is when you put that guy out there, he's on the clock. Once you step on this football field, you're on the clock, and you're expected to perform at the highest level in football. And Tua's name is, comparing him to people are talking about he's going to be one of the greatest quarterbacks in the world. And he may. But you know what? He needs to learn. He needs to sit back and take it in. He needs to understand his offense better. And he needs to learn the game of football from an NFL standpoint. So when he steps on the football field, he'll have the best chance to be successful. And I'm excited about him. I'm excited about what the Dolphins are doing as a whole. But if we can – the longer we can wait than have him not play, I think it's going to be better for the Dolphin organization as well as Tua.
And, Tuan, we hit college, talked a lot of Canes. We just hit the Dolphins, Tuan. I got to go to high school.
Here we go.
On October 16th, the True Prep Academy Saints are coming to play the St. Thomas Aquinas. I don't even know y'all's mascot.
I don't know. I mean, at least we've had the same mascot in school for the last 80 years. I mean, is it academy? Is it youth school? Is it? I mean, I'm not sure who we're gonna play. I mean, we may in the contract. Is it doing business as? And then it has a couple different names. I have no idea who's gonna show up that day. What color are you gonna be? Like when we watch film, somebody got to tell me what color y'all gonna be, because I might look at the wrong team. So I'm not sure. Who we playing. I hear what you're saying, and honestly, y'all could be IMG. Y'all could be combining with IMG coming down here playing. I have no idea. We showing up to play football. Not sure who's gonna be there. I mean, you got the most decorated, coaching staff in the world. Every single player on your team, every single coach on your team, the NFL coach. I mean, y'all all been to the Hall of Fame or state fame or whatever y'all did. Y'all get the best coaching staff in the world. We just trying to be involved in a football game, and we might be playing a college team for all we know.
Tuan, all this trash talking, you just made me blitz more.
You just
got your offense blitz more. So, thank you. Your offense needs to thank you when we play.
You just trash talked yourself into a blitz.
Y'all going to be showing up with college players. I mean, we're a high school team.
Hey, man, I'm going to show up with the Dolphins practice squad. You don't know who's coming.
Oh, Tuan, my nose guard got to be 28. I just met him yesterday. He got to be 28 years old.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. I mean, you're not. Are you guys even sanctioned by the FSSA? Are you guys sanctioned by the Florida State High School Association?
We sanctioned
or
by God.
Are you guys living outside of that?
Just sanctioned by God, Juan. Sanctioned by God. That's all. That's our only sanctions.
So we're playing angels. We're playing God, Candyman. We're playing the angels. We're like
sanctioned by God. He's been deputized. He's been nothing with the FSHAA, but he's been sanctioned and deputized by a few people.
We got oh my God. Got sheriffs. You got people deputized now. You got police officers out there. Who are we playing on this?
I want to watch that. I want to watch this game on TV now. I want to see what Crowder shows up with.
It's funny after I brought up the Lord because we all call it the Saints. So we're the True Prep Academy Saints. And if you, Antoine, and you know me, so you know I'm a saint. So that's how everything just, you know, just rolls together.
Oh my gosh. I was making a joke, and that's real.
That's another blitz. This laughing just got you blitzed again.
We are really playing grown men. Adults. These are guys that didn't make it to the NFL.
So, Twan, y'all don't have a section for your players' kids?
Oh, my gosh. Everybody gonna drive to the game? Y'all gonna drive to the game? We gotta get parking passes for the whole team.
I told my player hit the B gap, Twan. He told me, Coach, I got mouths to feed. I said, you got mouths to feed? How many mouths you feeding, son?
Oh, God. We need child care to keep y'all kids.
And now you just got blitzed again. Just no, Twan. These are adding up.
Oh, God.
Man. Crowder is coaching the Toronto Argonauts. You got a CFL team is flying in.
I ain't fooling with y'all, man. Y'all leave me alone.
He going to sneak some of his boys from Florida on the team.
Hey, now our running back might look like Ronnie Brown, but yeah, it's not Ronnie Brown. We'll run the Wildcat. Just
oh, I can't take it.
Oh, I can't wait for this game. What's the date of this game?
October 16th.
Oh,
oh
gosh.
That's excellent. Twan Russell. We love talking to Twan Russell. Oh, my God. You made me laugh.
You are crazy.
Somebody texts in, this is the best segment ever. I'm peeing my pants. I love this show.
Channing, one more time, Channing. Can you just tell me the name of your team again?
You just got blitzed again.
No. We just want to know who to put on the ticket.
On October 16th. The St. Thomas Aquiuses will be going up against the True Prep Academy Saints.
Oh, this doesn't even sound like a real. This sounds like we playing adults. This sounds like we playing people that's getting their GED.
One of the kids asked me the other day, "Hey, coach, how's your 401k? Because mine is struggling right now." I was like, "What? What did you say, son? You got a 401k.
And he's 3 years from cashing it in.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, coach, that NASDAQ is hitting, coach. That NASDAQ is hitting, coach. What?
Oh, man.
This will be great. All right. Twan Russell, one of our favorite Canes and Dolphins and people locally. Thank you, Twan.
Yeah, thank you.
Twan, you got hustled at the pool hall.
Oh, God, we're snorting this so bad. Oh, God, I need tissue.
We'll see you, Twan.
All right, take care.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
Unfortunately, this is the Hock and Crowder Show.
Daniel Berger, professional golfer, local guy. How's the course playing today, as a matter of fact?
Hock and Crowder.
La Laca. That's our jam. 5 o'clock hour on Hockman and Crowder, brought to you by La Vaca. Hey. Brought to you by Funky Buddha. Funky Buddha Brewery. So today, again, just we're bouncing all over the place because there's so much going on. But today is a Talk About It Tuesday, and we dabbled in some Talk About It Tuesday at 4 o'clock. Let's dabble in a little bit more. Solana, fire it up. Give us something to talk about. I'm talking about Tuesday.
Drew Brees can't throw more than 10 yards.
Talk about it.
Talk about it.
Talk about it. Gotta wait for that music. I love it. Do you know what I think the song is every time, Crowder? Do you remember how Tito Jackson, We Made It, starts?
Yes.
It is so similar. Do you see if you have that in the system, Solana? Tito Jackson, We Made It.
Oh, I deleted that song, I'm pretty sure.
You did? No, I understand why. I totally get it. I get fooled every time when
your
you play
that. Your favorite.
It. Yeah, Drew Brees does not have his good stuff. It's not, as Jay Figg would know, right? It's not Drew. It's not Drew Brees with the good passes. yeah, he's getting old.
I would say that Michael Thomas was making him look good for a long time, and he missed that number one receiver. Jared Cook stepped up, but Solana hit it on the head. If this continues to go with what we saw in Drew Brees last night, there's going to be a lot of checkdowns. Alvin Kamara is going to get 150 catches this season.
Yep, no doubt. All right, what else you got, Solandria?
All right, guys, according to Nielsen's numbers from last Saturday night, more people locally here in South Florida and nationally watch Game 3 of the Heat and Celtics over UM and Louisville, but it was close.
Talk about it.
Talk about it.
Talk about it. Well, I mean, it doesn't surprise me nationally. I love waiting for the music. It really, it doesn't surprise me nationally. I mean, I don't think UM Louisville has a huge national presence if it wasn't that there were, you know, only two conferences playing right now. So that doesn't surprise me. Locally, you said the Heat outdrew Hurricanes?
They did. Very close, though. It was very
close. That doesn't surprise me either. One of them is an Eastern Conference Finals, and one of them is Week 2 of the college football season, so I do not find that to be surprising.
No, and whatever the Leslie Nielsen says about it, I'm sure the people are going back and forth.
I was.
Yeah, if you're in South Florida, I'm sure I would say 80% of those people were flipping back and forth, so
yeah,
come on, Leslie.
I was.
All right, guys, Paul George, you heard Sedano mention it, he gave the Clippers a speech after their Game 7 loss, imploring the group to stay together and come back next season to win a ring. It was reported that the speech was met with eye rolls.
Talk about it.
Talk about it.
Talk about it.
I'll tell you this.
Wow.
Sorry.
No, that was good.
No, he nailed it. Yeah. It was perfect.
Wow. I'll tell you this. If you're an athlete on a team and you're not contributing to a high level, don't pull me aside after a game or after a series and tell me how we need to figure it out in the future. This reminds me of when Joey Harrington wanted to do post-game talks. Shut your ass up, Joey. You're the reason we lost. Don't tell me what we need to do win. We need to get rid of your ass to win, Joey. Paul George,
shut up. Paul George into Joey Harrington.
I'll tell you this, not his career hawk, but I will tell you, during the bubble playoffs, Paul George had a very Joey Harrington playoff bubble. I'll tell you that.
That I can't argue. That I cannot argue. All right. Any other Talk About It Tuesdays, Solana, or has the well run dry?
No, guys. I have one more. I can't stop staring at Alex Dono in his bathtub.
Talk about it.
Talk about it.
Talk about it. Well, of course you can't stop talking about Alex Dono in his bathtub. Who would be able to stop talking about it or watching it and looking at it? I mean, that's my new wallpaper on my phone. I have Dono in the bathtub drinking a glass of wine. I can't wait to see Crowder and Solana and Jay Figg and Dan Day in their bathtubs.
I'll tell you, as a guy that used to be in extremely good shape and let myself totally go, my ego goes through the roof when I see other men without their shirts on. So thank you, Dono. I feel very confident in myself this week.
All right. Anything else on Talk About It Tuesday, Solana?
Guys, I think we've talked about it enough.
I'll tell you what, you have really hit a home run with that segment today. Solana brought it strong today. He had what was it? Zenwahadejo? I think I'm confusing him with the old kicker, Zendejo. You know, remember him?
Yes.
Who's the kicker? What is the name of the place? The Mexican city that
Zihuatanejo,
is that what it was?
Zihuatanejo.
Kicker Zendejas, Tony Zendejas. That's who I'm thinking of. Yeah, you killed it today with that. And I got to tell you, I've been around radio a long time. I think you have stumbled upon a new winning segment. Talk About It Tuesday. And the great thing is, because we did it last Tuesday, we worked out the kink, right? Yeah. Instead of playing it first, you play it after and you play it several times. And it is a winning segment. That will be stolen in no time by other radio shows. So well
thanks,
done
Hockey.
By you, Solana.
Thanks, Hockey.
I don't know where that's coming from, but yes, well done out of you today, Solana. All right, if you missed anything, and there is a lot, George Sedano was excellent. Mark Richt, head coach, former head coach, University of Miami, he was excellent, as he always is. Who else do we have on today, Solana? Who am I missing?
Mark Richt.
Tuan Russell. No, I just said Mark Richt. I literally just said that. Tuan Russell. Like I guess, I don't listen, huh? Tuan Russell, he was excellent as well. We played Cheers 2. It was a fun show. Radio.com is the app. You can use the rewind feature and go back in time and listen at your leisure. Tomorrow, it'll be just as busy. I mean, you got a Heat game night tomorrow, and the Dolphins the next day, and the Heat the next day, and the Canes the next day. It's just fun. Hurricane Hotline is coming up at 6 o'clock. Joe Zgacki and Don Bailey Jr. joined by Kirk Herbstreit. Is that true, Solana?
It is at 7 p.m. Herbie.
Talk about it. Talk about it.
Talk about it.
Talk about it. Always fun when Kirk Herbstreit joins Hurricane Hotline. And then a special edition of Zach and the Nose. Zach and the Nose special edition tonight, 8 o'clock. Get your fantasy football lineups worked on with Zach and the Nose. So that's on 560 WQAM The Joe. Hurricane Hotline, then Zach and the Nose tonight. On 790 The Ticket, it'll be Best of the Ticket coming up next at 6 o'clock. Great job, Solana and Jay Figg running the board there at 560 today. And Hurricane Hotline again next on 560. Best of the Ticket next on 790 The Ticket. That'll do it for us. Everybody have a great and safe night, and we will speak with you mañana.
Talk about it.
I have manopause.
Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind.
You need
really
to need, need
that's all, folks.
You need to need.
Oh no!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Here.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.